Welcome to the Underground, the Steel City Underground, a Pittsburgh Steelers podcast made by fans like you, for fans like you. Now, here's your host, Joe Kuzma.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Steel City Underground podcast. I am your host, Joe Kuzma, and today I am joined by my special guest from the Steel City Report, Nathaniel Bodner. Nate, how are you today?
I am doing good. How are you today?
You know what? I can't complain. We were trying to get together for this show, and I was really thinking to myself, I might not be as prepared as you are. You said you're the stats man.
Yeah, today.
Yeah, I feel like I hit the wall here, so I'm almost flying, as most people would know, without no notes, no real show notes. But I do have a little bit of basis for our topic today, having written an article back in March about the Steelers and Bengals and talking about whether or not it's the NFL's biggest rivalry. But what we're really going to talk about today is whether or not the Cincinnati Bengals are a rival of the Steelers. And while we're at it, you know what? We may as well talk about the rest of the teams in the AFC North, and what better way to kick it off than the Cleveland Browns. I mean, Cleveland Browns, a storied franchise. They get to keep their history when they were non-existent there for a few years. Of course, Art Modell taking what was the Cleveland Browns to Baltimore, packing up the trucks as the Colts had done from Baltimore previously to Indianapolis. So Baltimore gets a team again over there in Maryland. And Maryland's one of those areas, too, that's kind of Steelers country as well. So there's a lot of heated, what do you want to say, exchange there. But
Absolutely. I believe Jeff Hartman over on Behind the Steel Curtains from around Maryland, right? Am I wrong?
Yes. Jeff was actually on this show probably no more than a month ago, and we were talking about how Steelers Nation had no boundaries, and he originally grew up in West Virginia, so Steelers Nation goes down to there. And then, of course, me and you, being from Northeast Ohio, we have to deal with the Browns fans, who are seemingly more happy to root for whatever team other than their own that they think could beat the Steelers from week to week.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just don't get that, because I have family members and my house is divided. It's Cleveland Browns fans and Pittsburgh Steelers fans. And the Pittsburgh Steelers fans are more respectful than the Cleveland Browns fans. And I'm not saying that my family members are disrespectful. I'm just saying a bunch of my friends are Cleveland Browns fans. And they're like, oh, you know what? I can't wait until this team, you know, beats the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, I hate them. I hate them. Well, you might have a little reason on why to hate them, but you know, that's just the record stating that you know Pittsburgh wins against the Browns a lot, and you know, that just shows in the record. And that would be a 3-17 record since 2006. The last 10 years, the Cleveland Browns have had a 3-17 record against the Pittsburgh Steelers. That record is just unbelievable right there. And the Pittsburgh Steelers, of course, lead the series 70-58. And, you know, that's a little bit closer than another team that we're going to be talking on about later in the show. And I'm not going to name that team yet, but the Cleveland Browns were actually pretty good back in the day. You know, they had Art Modell leading the whole pack there. And, you know, they turned around and they just have not been good the last 10 years.
No. And of course, myself, and for all the regular listeners who know, my wife is a Browns fan, and we have not only a house divided, but family divided. So my young daughter, who will be turning 3 next month, it goes in between myself buying all the Steelers paraphernalia versus some of this garbage I wouldn't, you know, wipe my behind with, that shows up in her closet sometimes, which would be some Cleveland Browns t-shirts or this god-awful ugly hat that my uncle thought would be real funny to give her. Girls don't wear hats anyway, so good luck trying to make her a Browns fan with a hat, of all things. But that being said, yeah, I used to get grilled. I've got a few more years on you here, Nate, where I actually remember when there were good Cleveland Browns teams, so there at least was a little bit of tradition there. But most recently, as you gave the statistic, that was 3 wins since, what, 1999, when they came back. And in those 3 wins, I want to say Ben Roethlisberger, he's only lost like one or two games against the Cleveland Browns as a quarterback. And, of course, the legend, if you will, around here is that the Browns would seemingly kick themselves in the butt for not drafting Ben Roethlisberger.
Yes, they had an opportunity, but they didn't take it.
Yeah, and among other opportunities, I mean, they just become more of a laughing stock because they're on, what, 22 or 20, probably 23 quarterbacks, I think, is going to be when RG3, if he suits up this year as the starter. I think he will be the 23rd starting quarterback since the reintroduction of this franchise, coming back and having the whole expansion draft and bringing in Tim Couch. They made the playoffs the 1 year with, like, they actually looked a little promising. I'm trying to remember. I think that was Derek Anderson. I think they may have had Jeff Garcia at that time.
You know what? Can I butt in real quick?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
You know, it was Derek Anderson, actually, in 2007. They did not make the playoffs when they had a 10-6 positive record above 500, 10-6 with Derek Anderson. And that was the last time that they were even remotely close to making the playoffs, because the last time I remember, and I know that I was really young at the time, and I know that you might have seen this game, but the Cleveland Browns made it to the AFC wildcard game, okay, and they barely made it. It was due to a goal line stand by a team I cannot remember 1 week prior that snuck the Browns into the AFC wildcard against the Pittsburgh Steelers. They led the entire game in the fourth quarter with under 5 minutes left. They were up by, I believe, 13, and Pittsburgh took over, and Tommy Maddox was the quarterback at the time. They got a 2-point conversion after they got the touchdown with 54 seconds left, and they won 36-33. And that was in 2002. That was the last time they went to the playoffs.
Yeah, that's the one. Yes, Tommy Maddox. Oh, my goodness. I was talking with, I don't know if you caught the show that I had with Ron Lipok, who was doing the memoirs of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Man, I don't remember the full name of Ron's book at this time, but if you go back and listen, he had an interview with Tommy Maddox, and I was just praising Tommy Gunn and how I used to love him growing up. And then, of course, you know, I really wanted him to, I'm like, oh, yeah, maybe we should give him a contract. And then, of course, you know what happens. Ben Roethlisberger gets the opportunity. And you never look back from there. And yes, I do remember that playoff game. There was one game of those, maybe three, was a man by the name of, oh my goodness, it's going to drive me crazy right now. I'm sure my wife remembers this, because this was the old Sunday Night Football that was on ESPN when it was first starting. Oh, Kelly Holcomb.
That was the quarterback.
He was the quarterback for the Browns. I mean, I had to dig it up. There was like almost two dozen of them. It's hard to remember them all, even when you're making fun of it constantly. So I think the way that the Steelers fans look at it is, we're a bit upset and disappointed that this isn't the rivalry that it once used to be. And you almost turn your nose up at it, and you're thinking that's an automatic W on the schedule. We have been embarrassed the other couple times. I was actually at both of those games in Cleveland when those happened, too.
Goodness.
Yes.
I remember the one. It was, I believe, Charlie Batch.
It was.
Under center.
He
like, fumbled, like, two or three times. The running backs were fumbling. Like, everybody was fumbling in that game. It was 2012, I believe the Steelers turned the ball over.
Yeah, they turned the ball over, I remember, I think, seven times. Charlie Batch was the quarterback. And then, of course, Charlie comes back the next week to beat the Baltimore Ravens, which I remember I was sitting on my couch covered in blankets with the flu and just couldn't believe what I was seeing, because I got sick, so sick of a Browns, like, just, I can't even say that they, like, really beat the Steelers. It may have been one of the ugliest football games ever. It was some ungodly score, like 17-13 or something. Nobody could score. Nobody could hold on to the football.
The Steelers beat themselves up.
It was so bad. So it's like, okay, the Browns get one, but, you know, like, kind of barely. It was like, nah, I don't want the football. Here, you take it. And then, of course, the other one being the game I was making fun of Lance Moore. When I had Eric on the show, we were talking about the five potential free agents the Steelers could sign this offseason, and one name he kind of threw out if they needed wide receiver help was Lance Moore. And my memory of Lance Moore is not only complaining about his playing time, but celebrating a touchdown, the only touchdown in Cleveland Browns Stadium that day, because the Steelers had played so miserably bad against the Browns.
I remember that. That was in 2013, I believe. It was like 31-14 or seven, or like I think, like you said, maybe one or two scores. Lance Moore caught that late in the fourth quarter. That was a horrific game as well. That was just ugly.
Oh, it was garbage
It was just
time.
the running game by, I think Isaiah Crowell ran the ball, I don't know how many times, and he was just gaining big chunks of yards. And I believe it was him or another running back there.
Terrence West as well, I
Terrence
think I had
West.
at the
Oh,
time.
yes, Terrence West. Yes.
So, yeah, but you know what? I have had the pleasure of being there. I want to say Eric Mangini's last stand as the head coach there, final game of the regular season. I remember Troy Polamalu like picks off one of these passes early in the game, runs it in for a touchdown. It was like 14-0. I don't even think my one friend who was a Browns fan made it to his seat yet to sit next to us, and they were already getting just crushed. It was like 40-something to whatever the end of the game, and Byron Leftwich actually finished that game out. So that was one that was really fun. And then of course the last regular season game of last year was just the Steelers invasion. If you've never been to a road game as a Steelers fan, those of you who are Pittsburgh natives, I strongly suggest maybe taking the 2 hour or so trip up to Cleveland, especially when it's late in the season, because the Browns fans, now I'll give them this much. Their teams haven't been good forever, but they still stand behind them. Most of the orange seats have a butt in them, and they really don't start heading out of there because, you know, it's like when you're playing on like around New Year's in Cleveland up by Lake Erie, it's something like 17 degrees and miserable. So I can't necessarily blame them when they're losing the lead. But on the other hand, the whole lower bowl of this game, you're watching the scores. Everyone, there wasn't even cell reception because everyone was on their phones glued to the Bills and Jets game. And we get the score and everyone's cheering. And you see, we're behind the Steelers bench and you see everyone kind of turn around, even Tomlin. You see all these guys like turn around and look at us, and what are you guys doing? There's nothing going on in the field. It may have been like a TV timeout or something like that, and it was just amazing. I actually have video of this up on my YouTube page, by the way, if anyone wants to check it out. I mean, it was just phenomenal. So in that aspect, I do want to say it may not be a strong rivalry like it used to be. It may not be hotly contested with wins and losses, but I do want to say that the most of us that are Browns and or Steelers fans are still at each other's throats, and we kind of want that to be back there. But mentioned it earlier, the rivalry, maybe that has, or is it a rivalry? We're about to find out because I know you got some numbers on this. The one that may have replaced it, the team that was formerly, we thought they were going to be the Baltimore Browns. They turn out to be the Baltimore Ravens. And man, they've been a thorn in each other's side going through this. I want to say, let me see. They've met in the postseason 4 times, and the Steelers have a 3-1 advantage. They're the only two teams in the AFC North that have won a Super Bowl. So there are some bragging rights on the line here. What do you got for us on the Steelers versus the Ravens?
Well, I have some really good statistics on this one. Now, like we said with the Cleveland Browns, it was 3-17 since 2006. This is the total opposite with the Baltimore Ravens. It's a little bit better, not quite. Since 2006, the last 10 years, the Baltimore Ravens record against the Pittsburgh Steelers is 13-23. So it's 10 off. That's okay. But what really shocked me was the all-time series. The Pittsburgh Steelers lead the series 24-20. So they're only up by 4 games. That's back and forth for you.
Yeah, that really is back and forth, with the exception of maybe last year,
Yeah,
which, you
when they
know,
sweeped us.
yeah, and one of the things, that's another one of those, and I'm not sure that we have the numbers, and now I'm going to kick myself for not looking
They
this
only
up
won
and having the
five
notes.
games, Joe. They only won five games, and the 2 games they win is against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I
And
know.
I tell you one thing, if we had a kicker in the Week 4 matchup and didn't have Josh Scobie, we would have won that game. And if we didn't have Mike Vick, we might have put Landry Jones in. He might have done better. I know Vick did some good plays and he did all right, but come on. It's a 4th and 2 and you throw a little out route and you run the next out or the next 4th and 2, because there was like 2 4th and 2s and you miss both of them. Antonio Brown dropped the one. We talked about this in the last show I was on, but
Yeah.
it unbelievable.
Yeah, we were talking about the Todd Haley play calling and to get off the coach's
Yeah.
back on the show last week, and that was this game will forever like just it just pains me to think about it. The Sunday night, no, I'm sorry, it was Thursday night because it was a short week when Ben got hurt in St. Louis, and Vic had like maybe 2.5 days of practice if we're being generous there as the number one. And yeah, the most memorable thing of Mike Vic during this game was actually. Le'Veon Bell was doing pretty solid. Now, I think I gave a little more credit. I said it somewhere on social media or maybe in the comments on my website. And I was saying that maybe the Ravens were shutting down Le'Veon Bell. And they actually had a decent run defense for as bad as they were last year. And they've always been good against the run. So have the Steelers, for that matter, no matter how bad they've been against the pass. The teams are very much parallels of one another. And my memory of Michael Vick is Le'Veon Bell goes to take a run. It may have been like a counter play to the left. And he doubles back and comes back around to the right where Michael Vick had already kind of bootlegged out and was just kind of like chilling over there, maybe seeing like if, you know, if you ever seen little kids play sports and they're playing with the grass, he's just kind of chilling over there like as a bystander, you know, don't get hurt. And all of a sudden he's involved in the play and he throws this block, I think,
block
on one
by
of the DBs. Yes, it was like a Sports Center highlight. Not even so, I mean, as much for Le'Veon Bell, like extending that play and still cutting it back and scoring a touchdown. But Michael Vick throwing a block and just abusing that poor defender from the Ravens. I wish I knew whose name that was. I'm going to see if I could find it before the end of the show because I just saw that highlight the other day, and I think I may even have it queued up to go on the Vine account or one of these videos on Facebook or whatever. I'm going to put it up there because it's a good chuckle. But yeah, Josh Scobie, I mean, they had the only reason they're even going for it on 4th and 2, one of those was like from the 30-something. They have Boswell at that point. They're number one, they wouldn't have been in overtime to begin with if they had Chris Boswell at that point, but let's just say in theory that somehow they end up in overtime tied game, they're in striking distance to at least attempt the field goal. And at no point were you thinking, well, if I attempt the field goal here and miss it, I'm just going to give them the ball back at the same point, so the same field position, so we might as well just go for it. And you know what, that's one of the things that really bothers me about the Baltimore Ravens winning those games. The other one that really bothers me is having Ryan Mallett as a quarterback. I think he was there for not even 10 days.
Yeah.
And they win that game. And the Steelers, you know, are in this playoff contention. And the Jets are almost a parallel last year, too, because the Jets are dropping games that they have no business losing. And then all of a sudden, like, or I'm sorry, they win games they have no business winning, I should say, like beating the Patriots. It was just like, hey, what are we going to do here in order to get into the playoffs?
And let's beat the Patriots, okay? A really tough team to beat in overtime on an Eric Decker goal line fade to the right side. And then after that, let's lose to the Buffalo Bills, who have a quarterback that's pretty solid, okay? He's pretty solid, but a defense that has been struggling that used to be that once ferocious Bills defense, and they lose. And the Bills, I have to thank them to letting the Pittsburgh Steelers play in the playoffs against the Cincinnati Bengals, because that was awesome.
Yeah, I you know what? I have to agree with what you're saying there, too. It's just, I don't know. I really don't know what else that you can say about something like that. I mean, now we'll see what the Jets do this year. They were talking, I was listening, I think it was Sirius XM NFL radio earlier today, and they were talking about the Ryan Fitzpatrick situation once again. They said he was one of the better Jets quarterbacks of recent because they didn't ask him to attempt too many passes. And then it got me thinking because they were talking about all the quarterbacks, I think, that were in the 600 attempt range. And then several of them were guys that were getting just like nailed, like getting sacked constantly, like Blake Bortles, who I think led the league in getting sacked, and Matt Ryan as well. And so like those type of things, just it just bothers me to hear any of this stuff when you know that Ben was the least pressured quarterback last year and you still have to deal with the Steelers losing to a division opponent twice, especially one you consider a rival. I used to have the figure, and I forgot how many games of the last many games, but over the last 5 years, most of these games have been decided by 3 points or less. Of course, both games last year, The overtime game was 23-20 that the Ravens won, and then the one in December, the next to last game of the regular season, was 20-17. And that trend does happen to continue if you go back several years. I'm going to try and find, let's see, I'm going to pull up 2014 here. There is one outlier here that really sucked in.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
We're going to go to that Thursday night game on September 11th of 2014 where they lose 26-6. And then, of course, the Steelers come back and blow them out at home with another 6-touchdown performance of 43-23. So the reason I illustrate this is, and then prior to that, you had all these ridiculous games. You had the clip that we were talking about earlier with Byron Leftwich, where they wear the bumblebee striped jerseys. Was that the 2013, maybe?
2012. Yeah, can I get into this a little bit? I definitely, first off, want to say that the Ravens know that their games against the Steelers can often define their season, okay? It really does. If they win one game out of two, that basically can mean playoffs or no playoffs. And in 2012, like we talked about with Todd Haley, it was his first year as offensive coordinator. They went 8-8. If they won against the Baltimore Ravens both times instead of the one time with Charlie Batch, I think going 9-7, they would have snuck into the playoffs because they were, I believe in 2012, were one or two games away from making the playoffs. So if they win one, if they win both of those games, they would have got into the playoffs. So one of the games that really bothered me was Byron Leftwich. He was under center as the quarterback, and I believe it was a week 11 game. And he literally, in the first quarter, goes, it's a 40-yard run to the right side, breaks a tackle. And when he breaks a tackle, gets into the end zone, and he's holding his like ribs. And I'm over here, and I'm like, what's wrong with you? You know, they play Mike Tomlin, one of the stupidest moves. It's not a smart move to play a guy that has broken ribs, okay? But they play him the rest of the game, and they lose by, I believe, 6 or 7 points. And that play, I really, like I said on the last show, put it up on your social media because I know that Mike Wallace did good for you. But put that up because Byron Leftwich was not really known for being a run quarterback, but he did really good on that play. But they did lose, and I believe in the 23-20 victory a few weeks later with Charlie Batch under center, they won that game, and that was thanks to Heath Miller and that touchdown at the end, and they won 23-20. But it's crazy how one game can define the season, because in 2012 you may remember that the Ravens won the Super Bowl. So that one game that they won against the Steelers with Byron Leftwich, maybe if they lose that game, they're not Super Bowl champions, and we might be looking at a 49ers team that might be tied with the Pittsburgh Steelers with 6.
You know, that Super Bowl, I asked myself, could both teams lose? And then the power goes out, I nearly got my wish. I mean, that was great. But yeah, the Byron Leftwich game specifically, there was a player that got downfield. I can't remember if it was like AB or Mike Wallace, but they were incredibly wide open, and Leftwich hurls a pass toward them that was like 10 yards short of making the mark. And then you hear about the rib injury or whatnot a day later. I mean, it was just, that was devastating. Jacoby Jones was the difference maker in that game, returning a punt, which, if you remember, a year later on Thanksgiving was the infamous Mike Tomlin stepping on the field Jacoby Jones incident that happened, where he received the $100,000
fine. He didn't know where he was on the field.
I believe him. I believe him to this day.
I don't know. I don't care. That's 2013. Let's bring on 2016, win a Super Bowl, and then we can talk.
Yeah, but I did want to mention that game that was on Thanksgiving. Of course, there was a last-ditch effort for a two-point conversion. A lot of drama in the final minutes. I had the video up of Le'Veon Bell getting his bell rung and his helmet removed in that very game. The Steelers finally, after Heath Miller, and maybe it was a challenge or a review on a touchdown, his knee was down early. Bell tries to run it in, maybe on the next play or two, gets his helmet removed, doesn't make it into the end zone. By rule, his helmet comes off before the ball crosses the plane. So there the Steelers have to burn a few more plays and some more time. And then they finally do get in the end zone, try for a two-point conversion that Manny Sanders drops. You have a two-point game there. So even with those outliers of what you had in 2014 when the Ravens were still competitive as a team as opposed to last year, they did have a lot of injuries. I thought they weren't going to be very strong anyways, just based on the veteran leadership and the depth issues that that team had. But when you have one team kind of beat one team badly, come back and beat them just as bad, and then you have these games that are going being decided by like 3 points or whatever, you have the teams the next year, one game the one team doesn't have their, neither game the team has their starting quarterback in, and to me, that's still a rivalry that still holds a lot of water there. I could tell you firsthand that Terrell Suggs, in the sight of seeing Terrell Suggs, he turns around and jaws with the fans constantly in Pittsburgh when he's on the bench there and their offense is on the field. This thing still has some fire, but we're going to move on to the last team in the AFC North. And the question is, are the Cincinnati Bengals, are they a rival, or is this even something that should be considered a rivalry?
Okay. Well, first off, this is not Pittsburgh's top rival, and I want people to beat that in their head until the Baltimore Ravens are non-existent anymore, because the Baltimore Ravens will always be, in my opinion, the Pittsburgh's main rival. Okay. Now, the Cincinnati Bengals, their overall series record against the Pittsburgh Steelers is just horrific. It's ferocious. It's just horrendous. That's the word I'm looking for. It's horrendous. Okay. 58-35, the Pittsburgh Steelers lead the series. So that is 35-58 in the Bengals' favor. That's not good at all. Okay. In the last 10 years, the Cincinnati Bengals have a record against the Pittsburgh Steelers of 6-22. Once again, that is from 2006. 6-22. Okay. That's not a rival. Okay. The reason people think it's a rival is because Vontaze Burfict injures Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, and Ben Roethlisberger in the same exact season. Okay. That's not a rival. Okay, that's a player that is dirty, in my opinion. Oh, he's playing hard or whatever. You literally took out Le'Veon Bell's knee, and then you're standing around him, and you're laughing? You're excited about this? Okay, cool. Cool, dude. No, not cool, okay? Because, you know, if somebody gets injured, you're a player, you're supposed to kneel. You're supposed to kneel. This is what happens in high school football and sometimes college and in the professionals, but mainly I've seen it with high school football. When a player goes down, you kneel. If you're on the other team, you do the same thing. And Vontaze Burfict doesn't do that. He thinks that, oh, let me hurt all the Steelers star players and we can win a playoff game. Well, let me tell you something. You talk to your friend Jeremy Hill, your running back, and you tell him that you lost the playoff game because of him. You're up. What was it? The final score was 18-16 Pittsburgh. So they were up by two at the time. And Jeremy Hill. He fumbled the ball with about a minute left. Ben Roethlisberger comes on the field and takes him down and gets in Chris Boswell's way. And of course, Vontaze Burfict comes in, and before that play happened, he hits Antonio Brown. He goes down. He is concussed now, and he's out for the divisional game. And I'll tell you one thing. If he was there in the divisional game, they would have won that game. They would have went to the AFC Championship, and maybe, just maybe, they would have went to the Super Bowl and beat the Carolina Panthers.
Oh, just based on what AB did in the first game against Denver. I mean, Chris Harris looked like he was – Chris Harris didn't even look like he could beat Antoine Blake for a starting spot as a corner the way AB abused him. But the one thing that you forgot was AB was faking that the whole time. Don't you remember?
Oh, you know what? Was it Pac-Man Jones that said, oh, I have to have proof. I have to have proof. Yeah, you just lost another playoff game. Add it to your 25 years straight. Yeah. No, I don't understand this organization. They have dirty fans too. You want to talk about that? Ben Roethlisberger being carted off with a separated shoulder, and I believe that him coming back in the fourth quarter, down by 2 points, needing a field goal, and taking him down with literally a separated shoulder, and then going in the divisional game and throwing a deep ball to, I believe it was Marcus Wheaton on the left side to start the game off, said, "Hey, I got an arm," you know. But it really bothers me that Pac-Man Jones has to say something, and it just really bothers me that everybody thinks that this organization is a rival, and the dirty players and the dirty fans, I can say, because they were throwing bottles and everything at Ben Roethlisberger when he was being carted off, is just unbelievable. It's disrespectful, and I've never, and hopefully never will ever see another fan base disrespect a quarterback, even if it's a rivalry divisional game or a wild card game or any game. They should not disrespect the quarterback like that, or any player. And the fans really, they really blew it.
Oh, I've got a load of things to reply back to
Go
everything
ahead.
you just
I just
said.
wanted to get that out.
Tell me how you really feel. So, Adam Pac-Man Jones, when they did this NFL Top 100 deal and they bring Antonio Brown on as number four on the list, it's like the first guy they show that they were wiring him up, and he's like in that room. Like, why are you showing, of all people, Adam Pac-Man Jones? And it's like he's trying to save face, talking about how good Antonio Brown is. And you could tell it's so forced and scripted. It's like, why did you even put this guy on TV? That's one of the ones right out the gate. One of the other things, I shared that video of Ryan Shazier making that hit on Gio Bernard, one of the fumbles from one of their backs. Butterfingers number one, you may as well call him. And you won't believe, still, the Bengals fans who are crying about that being a dirty hit. To them, I show Exhibit B, the Le'Veon Bell Thanksgiving night Ravens game, where he got not hit by one helmet hit, but two, the play I was just talking about moments ago. Now, of course, that rule is changing this season for 2016. But prior to this, these guys still couldn't get through their thick skull. And in fact, Nate, I think I got kicked out of a Facebook group, and it wasn't even me. I had somebody call me a dumbass. And I go and I paste a link right there for him to see that says, "Here is the head of NFL officials," or one of these guys, like Pro Football Talk or something like that. And they analyzed the play and said, "This is why it's legal." So, you know what? You guys want to cry about it. You know the famous image of that blondie that's sitting there in fans. She's going boo-hoo, and her cheeks are all red because it's like cold and raining that entire, well, most of that game. The Steelers have won four of the last five games against the Cincinnati Bengals, and you look at the games that they have won. You look at how the Bengals imploded. They're at home. They have somebody that they think is a rival. You have their radio stations down there running rape jokes about Ben Roethlisberger, and don't get me started on that again. I did an entire show about that because there were people still running their mouth about that
Oh,
type
I
of
didn't know
stuff.
about that. I
Oh,
didn't know about
yeah.
that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They're still
Add to
calling
the
them.
list of why I hate the Cincinnati Bengals and their fans.
Well, and then you have Vince Williams, of course, who Harambe, or whatever the name of the gorilla that was shot in the Cincinnati Zoo.
Yeah, I saw that.
He said he
He's,
was, so he
yeah.
has to make the comment saying he put out of the misery. You got these Bengals players showing up for a soccer game. Now, this is cute because Cincinnati has a soccer team. They're actually outdrawing most sports. They're probably outdrawing the Reds at this point. And they're getting like 30 some thousand people there for certain games. And they said, oh, it's going to be the first time they play the Pittsburgh equivalent. Now, this isn't Major League Soccer. This is like two levels down from Major League Soccer. This would be like third division. This is like watching Division III college football, where you're dealing with a team like Mount Union or, geez, oh man, like something like Geneva College or somebody like that. This is like the equivalent of this with semi-pro soccer, and these guys create a Cincinnati versus Pittsburgh night and are going to have Bengals players as their captains or their honorary captains. And it's hilarious because the four people that were advertised, one of them being perfect, didn't show and was replaced, and then you got that Domita Peko or whatever, however you say his name.
Domica Peko, I
Peko,
believe.
And, you know,
no, talk about what he said recently. You know
yes,
what he said?
Go ahead, repeat. Well, repeat it family friendly for the show.
No, how about you go ahead? You go ahead, because I can't exactly remember it.
It was something about, like, they're pieces of bleep or something.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's that. Yeah, I remember now. I knew that he said something, but I didn't know exactly what he said. But he said the Steelers are pieces of bleep, and it was like, nice. Very nice.
And I had a statistic, and it was given to me. I have to give credit to Ben Anderson, who I wanted to have on with us tonight as sort of almost a roundtable for this, but he was unable to join us. He's over from the from Steel City Blitz or SC Blitz, trying to remember the exact name of their site, and, of course, Steel Dad's part of that as well. And Ben said that if he was Domita, he would be just as upset, because I guess the statistic he had was that Domita's only won 2 games against the Pittsburgh Steelers as a member of the Cincinnati Bengals. And I think that's where the ire in the rivalry part comes in. But guess what? Bengals, you haven't won a playoff game since 1991. You've lost 4 of your last 5 against the Steelers. I'm going to even say that you got lucky in Heinz Field because you had us in shock and hurt Le'Veon Bell. I was there. Vontaze Burfict does a little dance afterwards. And all the players saw that. It left a very, like you said, sit down. That's every sport, man. That's not even just football. Somebody gets hurt and they're playing, their 8-year-old's playing soccer. They all take a knee. I mean, that's just, they learn that young. They're like kindergartners and they know better than Vontaze Burfict. He's always been a head case and a problem. It's good he's suspended for 3 games to start this season, but I wish they did it intentionally. We all know that. They're not going to say that. The NFL's not going to say that. Roger Goodell's not going to say it. But they did not want Vontaze Burfict in our house because, you know what? Karma is going to come back and get this guy sooner or later. It really is. He is known. He had a dirty hit. And I'm going to even say this. The Baltimore Ravens.
Oh, I saw this hit.
Do a Google search. I know if you're just an NFL fan, go look beyond the Steelers here and just do a Google search. Do like Ravens and Burfict and watch all the different bloggers and writers for the Baltimore Ravens who also hate Vontaze Burfict because he has had dirty hits against them, including one against Max Williams where the play, it wasn't even it was on the complete opposite side of the field. Max Williams just kind of standing there. Well, the referees aren't looking there. You got 22 guys on the field that you're trying to keep track of, and all these things are happening where now you need instant replay. The players are so fast and athletic. They're like the $6 million man. It can make them faster and stronger now. And these guys, a blink of an eye, and you can miss something. So I can't fault the referees for missing that. But players shouldn't be doing that type of garbage to begin with. Throwing garbage on Ben Roethlisberger, that's a whole other thing. Going on your radio shows and your regular radio, whatever W or K, whatever that they have there. It's probably K Northern Kentucky. That's what I call Cincinnati. I call it Northern Kentucky. And you know what? And that's just a joke and you're laughing, but you know what? I don't want to offend the great people of the Commonwealth of Kentucky or the great state of Kentucky, because that's even low for saying that. We don't want them in Ohio, and Kentucky probably doesn't want them either. Maybe even that little lip there that's across from the Ohio River where they may support the Bengals fans. That's even Steelers country. You know what I say to Cincinnati Bengals fans? This isn't a rivalry. This isn't even the top NFL rivalry. This is a manufactured just hype type thing to get some TV ratings just based off of what you said. The only thing that the Cincinnati Bengals have over the Steelers is that they could injure our players. That is it. They injure Ben. They injure AB. They injure Le'Veon Bell 2 years in a row.
And they can't even win.
And they still, you can't even beat our third string running backs. Landry Jones comes in. The guy has been sitting there probably catching the flu on the sideline, and he gifts you a pass. And you
Who
still
else? Vontaze Burfict runs in the locker room. That's another thing I didn't like, but I don't know. I don't know if we have time for that.
You had to bring that up, and there's no flags. I you know what? I had an entire article that'll open old wounds. If you guys want to check it out, you listeners, I said it was something about – I had 2 reaction pieces to that game, and one was just the standard good, bad, and ugly, of which I think it was only ugly. And then I had maybe a whole other article that was just – analyzing the ugliest football game that I had ever seen or witnessed in my entire life, and that's particularly what it was. That's what a lot of people still have in their memory from this. When this game is played in week two, that's still, they're going to be showing the highlights and stuff from that. It'll be interesting to see what happens, but I'll tell you what. I don't necessarily respect that Andy Dalton is like number 30 or whatever in the top 100 list. He had a little bit better of a year, but you know what? This team
got injured.
Yeah.
On a Stephon Tuitt interception, try to make a tackle and broke his thumb. Are you kidding me?
You can't make this stuff up. And of course, the Bengals fans are still crying about that the same way they were crying about Kimo von Olhoffen and destroying their chances by hurting Carson Palmer back in 2005. They still have the chip on their shoulder, and they're just never, ever.
Kitna was the quarterback.
Oh, was it Kitna?
No. It was Kitna Carson Palmer, but Kitna came in for Carson Palmer after he tore his ACL. It was a devastating hit to him. But, he tore his ACL right after he threw like a long bomb strike down the right side, and it was a catch, and they were in the red zone, and Kitna had to come in, and it was just they led that game. It was like that Browns 2002 game. They led for until like the fourth quarter, and then Pittsburgh won. But
and
yeah,
in just glorious Bengals fashion, kaboom. Nathaniel, it's always good having you here on the show. Nathaniel Bodner from SteelCityReport.com. Any closing words? I want to say, Baltimore Ravens, if you're going to put one of these three teams as the rival, because you know what? We don't play the Cowboys or the Raiders enough, but those were the old school rivals. Modern era, probably still the Baltimore Ravens. We'll see how that turns out this year, see if Baltimore – I don't want them to turn the ship around. I'd rather see them – unlike we have some sympathy for the Browns. We wanted to see the Browns be awful. When we were just gloating in it, and now it's no longer cute or fun. But I would have a lot of fun to see the Ravens maybe go on a 10-year skid right into the dumpster. What do you think?
I believe that the Baltimore Ravens are Pittsburgh's main rival and will always be the rival as long as they're an organization in the NFL. You know, remember the Baltimore Browns and all that. But I think that we have to watch out for the Cleveland Browns. And the only reason I say that is because I think RG3 is going to have a good year. And I also believe that the Cincinnati Bengals are still once again going to lose. And Vontaze Burfict, bold prediction, might not be on the team next year. So I don't know. We just have to watch and wait and find out. But I know for a fact that the Baltimore Ravens, it literally defines their season if they win one or two games against the Pittsburgh Steelers. We've seen that in 2012. So I believe the Baltimore Ravens will always be Pittsburgh's rival.
There you have it. And folks, if you have any difference of opinion, please do leave some feedback for me and Nathaniel over on, well, we're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're just about everywhere. We're always retweeting and mentioning each other as well. And also something new for you fans out there, if you would like the Steel City Underground, we have opened a new hotline. If you have any questions for myself or any of the guests like Nate that come on the show, feel free to leave us a message over at 203-900-4SCU. For those of you who need the numbers, that's 203-900-4728. Just leave a message. Let us know who you are, where you're calling from, and what type of question you have. And hopefully we get enough of these type of mailbag type or inbox or voicemail questions on the hotline. We'll play the best ones and answer them and give you guys all the credit for asking the questions right on the air. We will play them for you. So 203-900-4SCU. Nate, don't troll me and make a phone call and ask about the top rivals. We're 2-0 on the Ravens, buddy. So,
all right, there we go.
That's the way I look at it. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to the Steel City Underground podcast. Until next time, be safe, be good, and I will catch you later.
We would like to thank you for listening and remind our listeners to follow us on social media and our website, www.steelcityunderground.com.